Okay, now we want to discuss what is usually called the weighted average formula, which is a formula that you certainly know because it's usually introduced in the first year courses of laboratory, and you find it at page 3. But now we want to understand the basic motivations for this formula. So just to give a setting of where we can apply this formula, let's consider a problem which is connected with the reweighting. Suppose we have two runs at different temperatures that we call beta 1 and beta 2. And using the methods that we have discussed, we can compute the average value of any observable at a temperature beta, using once the data at beta 1 and once the data at beta 2. So let's call A1 the value, the average value of A at beta, computed using the data at beta 1, and A2 the result for the same quantity obtained using the data at beta 2. So we have two values, A1 and A2, which correspond in principle to the same quantity. And so the question is, what is the optimal way to combine the results? And the weighted average formula gives us an answer in general to do this work. So let's formalize the question. What is the estimate of A1 and what is the error? Well, A1, we know that if we do many repetitions over, we do the same simulation several times, we get a distribution of the results A1, and we know that apart from corrections that decay as 1 divided by the number of iteration, the bias that we neglect here, the average value of A1 over the Monte Carlo simulations is identical to the average value of A with respect to the distribution pi. And analogously, the error is defined in terms of the variance of the estimates A1 over the distributions P of A1, which is the distributions obtained when you repeat the Monte Carlo simulation several times. Analogously, for A2, if you repeat the Monte Carlo simulation several times, the average value of A2 will be identical to the average value of A with respect to pi, again, in the limit in which the number of iterations is large, that we can neglect the bias, and the error is related to the variance of the estimates. So we have these two quantities, and we want to define a combined estimator, and we consider just a linear combination of A1 and A2, which is xA1 plus 1 minus xA2. So the important thing is that whatever is x, this is always a correct estimator of our average value, in the sense that if we average A of x over the Monte Carlo simulations of both systems, it always converges to the average value of A with respect to pi. And this is quite easy because you just replace A of x with its definition, use the fact that the average value of A1 and A2 over the Monte Carlo repetition is the average value of A with respect to pi, and then you see that x cancels and we get the result. So whatever is x, even if it's not related to the errors, even if we are not using the weighted average, in all cases A of x is a correct estimator of our quantity, the average value of A with respect to pi. But now, of course, for each x, we will obtain a different error. So let's compute the error, which is defined as the variance with respect to Monte Carlo repetition of A of x. So we write the average value of A of x minus the average value square. Then we rewrite the quantity in the parentheses slightly. So in the first line, there is a rewriting, if you look at the expression on the right. And here I have simply distributed the average value between A1 and A2. But it's easy to check that the formula on the right is identical to the formula on the left in the first line where the error is computed. Then you perform the square and you get three different terms. But then, of course, data that you use for A1 and A2 are completely independent. We are doing two different Monte Carlo simulations. We are using two different methods. It's not relevant how we compute for the argument, how we compute A1 and A2. They're just two different, completely independent estimates of the same quantity. So the average value factorizes, and if factorizes, it gives zero. So you obtain the formula, which is at the end of page 2, which tells you that the error on our estimator is x squared sigma 1 squared plus 1 minus x squared sigma 2 squared. And you can easily verify that this is nothing but the independent error formula applied to the function a of x, which is a linear function of a1 and a2. So x is the derivative of a of x with respect to a1, and 1 minus x is the derivative of a of x with respect to a2. So you apply the usual independent error formula, and you get this one. So you see that the error depends on x. So the question that you may ask is, what is the value of x that corresponds to the best error, to the smallest possible variance? So we look for the minimum of sigma square. There is a minimum because you see that here this is a parabola as a function of x, so there is a minimum. So we just look for the minimum. I don't want to go into the details. This is trivial. You do the derivative with respect to x, you solve the linear equation, and you get the two formulae which are at page 3. The optimal a of x is obtained by setting x as written here, and you obtain the formula which the optimal a of x is a1 divided by sigma 1 square plus a2 divided by sigma 2 square divided by the sum of the inverse errors. And for this choice, 1 over sigma square is the sum of the inverse of the two variances. So this is the choice that gives you the best possible estimate of a of x when you combine the two data. But now let's go to the applications. For the application, one must bear in mind that we don't know what sigma square 1 and sigma square 2 are. Sigma square 1 and sigma square 2 here are the exact variances of the distributions, something that we don't know. So in practice, we usually replace sigma 1 square and sigma 2 square with their estimates. This means that a of x will not be the optimal one, but that's not important because we know that the estimator a of x is correct whatever is x. So we are not using the optimal a of x, but if sigma 1 square and sigma 2 square are reasonably known, we have something which is reasonably close to the optimal estimator, so we are doing a good job. We are obtaining something which is not really the best estimate that we can obtain, but it's very close to it. So this is why we use the weighted average formula in the calculation. But now let's do this limiting case, which is at page 4, which is one limiting case which will be relevant when we'll discuss the combination of the results obtained using the reweighting method. So suppose that we have two estimates. So A1 is very precise. The exact error, sigma 1, this is the exact error, is 1. And our estimate of the error is 1.1. It differs by 10% from the exact error, something that often occurs because of several different reasons. Now we have also a second very imprecise estimate, A2. The correct variance on A2 is 5. So it's 5 times less precise than A1. But of course, there is also a big error on our estimate of sigma 2. And so we don't find 5, but we find 2. So our estimate of the error of sigma 2 is just 2. So we are underestimating, strongly underestimating sigma 2. So sigma 1 is more or less correctly estimated. Sigma 2 is strongly underestimated by a big factor. So what we do, our x is obtained as written here, where of course we use our estimates of the two errors. So x is obtained from the inverse of the variances, but we use the estimated variances. So we use 1.1 for sigma square 1 and 2 for sigma square 2. And so we get these two values of x. X is 0.768 and 1 minus x is 0.232. So our combined quantity a of x is 0.768a1 plus 232a2. Now we want to compute the exact error on this variable. When you compute the exact error, of course you should use the exact variances that in this case, of course, we know, and this is a toy example, so we know what is sigma 1 and sigma 5. So we compute the correct error for this particular combination. So this means that we have to use the independent error formula using sigma 1 equal 1 and sigma 2 equal 5. So we do the calculation and we obtain that sigma x is 1.39. So here you see the combined estimate has an error which is larger than the error on A1. Why is that? Well, the reason is very simple, because A2 is very poorly known, so there's a lot of noise in our estimate of A2. We are adding too much of A2, so we are essentially not adding signal in our combined estimate, but we are only adding noise. So essentially, in this case, we obtain an estimate A of X, which is worse than the original one. And of course, since we don't know the exact sigma 1 and sigma 2, we don't even realize that we are adding too much noise in our estimate. So this is one reason why you never use the weighted average formula when we are not sure that your estimates of the errors are reasonably correct. Whenever you have doubts on your estimates, on the quality of your estimates, and on quality of the errors on your estimates, the weighted average formula is not a reliable formula. And in the next lecture, we will discuss how to combine results obtained using the reweighting methods in a more robust way, which does not assume that we have good estimates of the errors, which in most of the cases we don't have.